Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Monday, January 29th, 2018. And with me today, I have Dave Hamilton. I hope you're doing well, Dave.
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Excellent. I'm so glad you're here. And John Martellaro, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Excellent. I am glad you are here as well. And listeners, I'm so glad that you are here with us again today. Every one of you rocks. And we should just hop right into it because I have a feeling we have a lot of information to get into people's brains today. So let's start with HomePod. And what I want to talk about today is the whole thing with which streaming type services HomePod supports and which work with Siri, because that was a really confusing, nebulous thing last week, but we've got it sorted out now. So the short version of the services that Apple is supporting for Siri on the HomePod, it's all their own thing. So Apple Music, which is no surprise, because that's something Apple said explicitly in their information about HomePod. Also, iTunes Match. So if you want to have Siri, if you want to tell Siri to play a certain type of music, if you have iTunes Match, which means iCloud Music Library, then you can do that too.
If you want to tell Siri to play a certain type of music. I mean, I would assume that's your entire music library, so you should be able to pick specific songs and that sort of thing. Okay, all right, just wanted to get clarity. Yeah.
Yep, I was just offering up one example, but yes, thank you for the clarity, yes.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Because the way you described it could have been construed as it being only like, say, the free version of Pandora or, you know, something like that, which it's not, so.
Yeah, oh, yep. So also, if you have Apple Music, you have iTunes Match. So you can load your own music library into iCloud Music Library and take advantage of this just the same. Beats Radio 1 or Beats 1 Radio, that works with Siri as well. Podcasts. And then also, if you are playing something through AirPlay, you can use Siri commands for that. So
is that so?
Oh, geez, Siri, thanks.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it actually is Siri. Surprise, Siri, now you know.
Yeah.
All right, pro tip. Turn your iPhone face down on your desk when you're recording a podcast so Siri doesn't listen. All right, so... that's the Siri part of the music control. And, did that make sense?
It does. Yeah. It does. Yeah. And I wasn't reading along with your article when you said it. So yeah.
Okay, good. Good.
One of the things I had a question about is AirPlay. So you've got Pandora on your phone and you're AirPlaying it to the HomePod.
Mm-hmm.
And you can ask Siri to pick out specific songs from Pandora and AirPlay them over? Is that what you're saying?
What I'm saying is if you are using AirPlay to stream Spotify, Pandora to your speaker,
mm-hmm.
the basic commands will work, like start, stop, pause.
Oh, okay, but not music selection.
But I do not believe music selection works.
But John's question is valid, right? The HomePod's voice commands for play, pause, skip will work. And HomePod's voice commands for selecting songs that are being played via an AirPlay-based service would not work. But would using S-Word on your iPhone to pick the next song, and obviously with Pandora, you may or may not actually be able to do that just the way their service works, but let's use Spotify as a better example. Mm-hmm. And you have a Spotify subscription, you know, could you say, you know, oh no, because Spotify doesn't work with Siri there, does it?
Yeah. No. Correct.
Okay. So that answers that question. All right. Yeah. Okay. Oh, I'm catching up.
All right. So the way I'm interpreting what we know now is that if you use Apple services, you can do the Siri thing with those services, just like you do on your iPhone, your iPad, and it will work just like you expect. If you're using other services through AirPlay, unless that those services specifically support letting Siri have that granular control, you're not going to have that because it's just not there.
Now, this is in contrast to Alexa. Don't want to get too far off track. But Alexa,
we say a word on this show, John.
Okay.
Well, otherwise our poor listeners have to deal with their device responding to you.
Uh-huh.
So you have an automatic subscription on Echo to Pandora and okay. others. Is that right?
Yes. Yes. You can control your Pandora and Spotify music playback through an Echo.
Yeah, it's not an automatic subscription. You add yours to it.
Well, I don't have a Pandora or Spotify subscription, but when last time I played with my Dot, I asked it to play some music and it found the song I wanted and it played it. What was it doing there?
It was using Amazon's own music service.
Yeah, Amazon Prime Music. Yeah.
So since you have an Amazon Prime account, you automatically have access to all of that content, music, TV shows, movies. It's just part of Amazon Prime.
Not all of it.
That's a good point.
You have access to a subset of Amazon Prime Music if you have an Amazon Prime subscription. If you want all of that, then you have to pay for an Amazon Prime Music subscription, similar to the way that you would pay for, say, an Apple Music subscription.
Yes.
So what if you wanted to play Spotify music from your subscription through the Echo device?
No problem.
How do you connect the two?
You add it as a skill.
Oh, so you just tell it. Can you tell the Echo to do that, or is there some way to access? You just state it?
You don't have an Echo, John. Or maybe you do, but
I haven't added a service because I don't subscribe to them. So.
Right. So to add services, you do it through the app. There are some services that you can add actually with voice control. I think with this, you have to add it through the app.
Or you have the A app on your phone.
And correct. Services. Yes. Correct. All
right. Yep. And then once it's set up, so you've added the skill, your credentials for the account are in there. Now you can talk to your Echo and say, hey, A lady, play me Bare Naked Ladies or whatever. And then it will do that. So, but on your HomePod, to bring it back full circle, if you say, hey, S lady, play Bare Naked Ladies, and you don't have an Apple Music subscription or an iTunes Match subscription where you already have Bare Naked Ladies songs in your personal library, then you would not be able to actually do anything. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So at this point, it feels like Apple is choosing to keep HomePod as an Apple-only service device for practical purposes. And
over the weekend, my wife saw an article, as we predicted we would see, comparing HomePod to Alexa on Alexa's playground. In other words, treating the HomePod as if it should have been an intelligent speaker device and pointing out its weaknesses.
Well, of course we're seeing that, because when Apple showed us HomePod and told us last June that HomePod is a music device. Oh, by the way, you can do some voice control stuff. But they told us this is a music device. The immediate thing that happened was the media jumped on the Siri part and looked at it as a very expensive Echo competitor.
Well, my point was, knowing that that was going to happen,
mm-hmm.
Apple could have and should have understood that that was going to be a comparison basis. Would it have been wise to open up the HomePod to more music services to offset that customer mentality?
Well, so Apple's been, I mean, we talked about this on Friday, right? But Apple's been doing a lot to control the message with HomePod, right? And one of the things is just in, you know, at the end of last week when they started having people come and test it, they had these people very much there to listen to the sound quality of HomePod and not focus on the voice, right? They're already downplaying that. Mm-hmm. For a lot of reasons. I think actually the one you bring up, John, is one of them, but you know, the others, and you can go listen to Friday's show to kind of hear us expound on this, but the others are that Siri's not ready yet for that in all the ways that it will be, say, 6 to 12 months from now. So, you know, smart of Apple to focus on the thing that the device actually does best, which is sound. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. And take their lumps.
Yeah, they're trying to avoid they're trying to, you know, bob and weave to avoid lumps. But I mean, of course they are. Like, I don't fault them for that. That's what they should be doing. No, they have to be smart about this. What they're trying to do with HomePod is very, very difficult. And so they're paring down and focusing on like one thing at a time, which is smart. So,
yeah. Yes. Okay. So before we move on, I'm curious, do you think that at some point, once Apple has gotten through us as Dave, which you referred to last week as the beta testers. If they're going to open HomePod to other streaming services?
I do. I think Spotify will be there. And I could be very wrong about this, obviously. I mean, there's a very compelling case if you're Apple to say no, HomePod will only ever be Apple Music, right? This is an extension of your Apple ecosystem and thou shalt not include anything else. But every other device in Apple's ecosystem has Spotify apps and, you know, now Amazon apps and, right? You know, like I can do all this stuff with my phone. I can do most, if not all of it, with my Apple TV. So, like, there's a lot of things that point to the fact that Apple doesn't think, like certainly not holistically in this closed-minded way. It also only works with an iPhone now, right? You need a phone, not even your Mac, right, to set the thing up. Right. I think that will change too. Remember, the iPod only worked on the Mac at first, and now, you know,
is that in the system requirements? I didn't.
It is.
We're talking about system requirements.
So, yes. So the system requirements are an iPhone 5 or newer.
Okay.
Many of the iPad models. So it's like iPad Mini, I think 2 and newer, pretty much. And then the 6th generation iPod Touch.
Okay. Would you guys agree that Apple will be continuously sizing up the sales, and it's conceivable that at some point, if it looks like they can't overcome the misperceptions of the buyer community, that they may have to change their mind at some point and open it up to other services?
I mean, I'm going to call that a weak question, John. Of course, it's possible. I think so that's
going to take, they're going to grab all the money on the table they can right now and then size it up later.
Yeah. Well,
throw a softball to Dave, John.
But I also think I don't think that's what they're doing. I don't think this is a money grab. I mean that doesn't make sense, right? I think they're very committed to this. You know, remember when the AirPods came out? Tim Cook wasn't on TV the week before they were released, telling everybody about how great the AirPods were. And as it turns out, AirPods are pretty great. You know, it's a pretty elegant. Yeah, it's a pretty elegant product from Apple. Perhaps the best product they've released in Tim Cook's regime, right? So, but you know, there he is. They're doing briefings. They're doing, you know, he's on TV in Canada and talking with people and telling everybody how great the audio quality on this HomePod is. I mean, they're really committed to this. This is not an afterthought right now for them. So.
Apple's all in until it isn't.
Correct, but they're more all in now than they have been on many other products that we would consider successes. So I think I think we need to watch what they do here. And I think, as I said last week, and I think I'm going to write a piece about this too, that this, they need to beta test HomePod in our homes for things like far field voice and wireless, you know, wireless coordination of the speakers for stereo or multi-room audio. What, you know, like, these things are hard, and they're going to have a massive customer support problem. When they roll out the wireless thing, they're going to need to have people on staff 24 hours a day to troubleshoot our networks, not troubleshoot our HomePods, troubleshoot our Wi-Fi networks to make it so that our HomePods can work. And I think they're aware of that, which is not unsurprisingly why we don't have those features right now, because they work.
There's another nuance here, Dave.
Yep.
In Friday's particle debris, I pointed to a Neil Seibert article above Avalon, where Neil has been proposing that Apple's competitor to the Echo is not the HomePod, of course, as we said, but it's the watch. And if internally Apple's putting a lot of emphasis on the watch and mobility and the future expansion of the watch to meet our needs in an Echo-like way, then Apple, understanding that corporately, internally, with the focus on the watch, isn't going to try to dilute its original emphasis on the HomePod. So there's another nuance.
That's an interesting perspective. Yeah. I don't think they see this as a, you know, an Echo competitor, but
no, they don't. That seems pretty clear to me,
but a lot of people do.
Oh yes. That's also very clear to me.
Well, the only twist the facts to make it so.
Yeah. Only because they don't have a device that actually is. I know, again, there's what you just said is pretty compelling, that the watch is the Echo competitor. Okay, fine. But you don't just buy one of those things to use in your kitchen, right? And you also don't buy just one of those things for $35. You buy a watch for $300+, and you have to buy one for everyone. So they really, I don't care what they think, they don't offer an Echo competitor. So the HomePod is going to be the closest thing to that, because, hey, it's this box that has microphones and a speaker in it that listens to me and does things. So on that standpoint, I think it's going to, out of the gate, if anybody looks at it from that standpoint, and this is why Tim Cook's on TV talking with people, if someone looks at this as an Echo competitor, it is going to fail horribly, like down in flames, because, I mean, A Lady is way better than S Lady, even in, like, you know, if we compare it to S Lady in our phones, and we know S Lady is massively restricted in HomePod. So, they have to make sure that they control this message coming out of the gate. Otherwise, it's like, oh, the HomePod is an expensive waste of nothing. You don't even think about it. It's not even worth writing an article about if you're going to compare it to other far more mature voice assistants.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. I'm expecting to see lots of ugly, ugly HomePod articles when this thing is available. And at the same time, I'm expecting we'll also see articles from people that previously were bagging on HomePod saying, wow, actually, the audio on this thing exceeds my expectations. So I think it'll go both ways.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, well, that was the theme of Particle Debris on Friday. The spectrum of customers and readers produces a spectrum of articles. And I cited three in the spectrum, and there's already one at Business Insider. It's the 7 reasons why you shouldn't buy a HomePod.
Yes, and I'm going to include a link to Friday's particle debris in today's show notes, so it's easy for people to find. Also to Friday's Daily Observations podcast, so you can go back and listen to the discussion that Dave was referencing. Guys, we are almost completely out of time, but before we wrap up, I want to explain to people what Apple's 64-bit app deadline for Mac apps means. So the short version is, starting on January 31st this year, so January 31st, 2018, any app submitted to the Mac App Store has to be 64-bit. And when you release updates for your apps to the Mac App Store, those have to be 64-bit, even if the app they're updating was only 32-bit. And then I think it's in June. Any app that you already have on the Mac App Store has to have been updated to 64-bit if it wasn't already.
And, oh, wow.
Yeah. And
so, otherwise, okay. So if you don't, even if you don't have an update between now and June, you can't let your app linger past June, your old 32-bit app linger past June. Otherwise, it'll get yanked from the store.
Right. Right.
Which tells us that the next version of Mac OS will be 64-bit only.
Right. And we know that that's coming in 2019 because Apple has said that. Very
clear. Wait, what have they said? Because you just said, I mean, everything has to be 64-bit by June of 2018.
Yes. And then in 2019, Apple's dropping 32-bit support completely from Mac OS.
Difference between submitting apps to the store and whether they'll run on your Mac at all.
Your operating. Oh, because we could have 32-bit apps that aren't distributed in the store.
Exactly. And the 32-bit apps you currently own will continue to function
until
okay, so this is a progression here. That makes sense. Okay, yes, totally. I got you. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah.
And this is exactly why I wanted to do this today, because people, I'm sure, were thinking, holy crap, apps I'm relying on today stop working sometime this year. I'm so screwed. And no, because those apps may get updates. And if they don't, you now have until 2019 to figure it out, assuming you decide to install that version of Mac OS on your computer. If you don't install it, you can continue to use your 32-bit apps.
I think we've written an article on how to go to System Report and get a list of your 32-bit apps.
I was just gonna tell everybody how to do that.
Well, tell everyone, and then we'll wrap up after that.
I do it by going to Activity Monitor, click on the CPU tab, then you'll probably, because you haven't changed your defaults, have to go to the View menu at the top of the screen and go to Columns and choose Kind. You want that turned on, so if it's already checked, leave it alone. Once you do that, you'll see in the new or existing Kind column down the side of your screen there, or the Activity Monitor window, you'll see it lists 64-bit or 32-bit. And the nice part is you can sort by that. And so you can look and see if you have 32-bit apps. And I do have a few.
Activity Monitor, Dave, does that mean it's only the running apps at that point?
It's only your running apps. So, yeah, run all the apps that are important to you.
Go to System Report, and you can click on Applications, and you see all your 32-bit apps installed.
Ah, there you go. See, I don't worry about that. I just run the apps that are important. Well, because I put a lot of apps on my computer that I don't really care about, so I run the ones that are important, and after I get my machine to a point where it's been running for a couple of days, it's like, all right, everything's running. Let's see what I got.
That's awesome. All right. So, John, you mentioned that we have an article detailing this as well. And yes, that's true. And I will have that in the show notes as well. And we're out of time, so we have to wrap up. Dave, thank you for being here today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And John, thank you for being here.
You're welcome. It's nice to be here.
Yes, it's great to have both of you here today. Listeners, I'm so glad you joined us. Thanks for listening. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.